Good afternoon, this is Ketchel Kirkham with Looking Up, a few minutes in the middle of the week, in fact, at the beginning of the year, to think about astronomical things. As you know, a year just relates to the chugging of the Earth around the Sun and getting back to the same place, that's all. The fact that this is the first day of a new year is arbitrary, and in the past rulers have changed all sorts of things about how we demarcate time, and different cultures use different calendars, such as the one based on the waxing and waning of the moon. If you wanted to feel a little younger, though, you could always imagine you were on a planet further away from the Sun. On Mars, for example, the solar year lasts 687 of our days, even though the day length is similar. Therefore, if you felt a little Martian one day, you could more or less halve your age. Neptune takes 60,190 Earth days to mark one Neptunian trek around our Sun. So perhaps that's taking a desire for youth a little too far. There are many types of timekeeping, and now our lives are ruled by time, and we mark it down to the minute, especially if you work online and often have meetings using video conferencing, or even face-to-face meetings. We gather according to the minute. Way back in the Middle Ages, knowing the hour was enough, and early mechanisms only relayed time by the hour. Words like moment meant the passage of 15 minutes. A quarter of an hour, which was the shortest time delineation for ages. By the 1700s, we could justify both an hour and minute, and even the second hand came into play as we became more sophisticated at constructing the mechanisms needed for this amount of accuracy. But how do you set the time on a clock? It didn't matter at first, as it took a long time to travel on horse from one place to the next. In Britain, there was a 30-minute difference across the land, and in the US, 3.5 hours, as the sun was at zenith at different times as you move east to west or west to east. That is, if you relied on a sundial to set the time, which people did. With the advent of trains, this was a problem, as it was impossible to have train timetables that made any sense. To solve this, astronomers divided the globe into 24 time zones. The starting point for these time zones was based on a meridian, that is an imaginary line from South Pole to North Pole, or if you prefer to be Northern Hemisphere based, North to South, defined by observatories that made noonday observations. In England, it was the famous London Greenwich Observatory. France used the observatory in Paris, and the US used the Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C. The observatory here in Cape Town was established by the British Admiralty to tell the time, so that ships could reset their chronometers. And that is why we have time balls and noon guns in the city. As you can imagine, setting the time and measuring it accurately rapidly gets complicated and political. The French were unhappy about Greenwich being the zero meridian and continued to use the Parisian observatory to dictate this until as recently as March the 10th, 1911. So the French were ahead of the rest of the world by 9 minutes and 21 seconds. Even when I was a child, Parisian fashions were said to be ahead of the rest of the world, but I'm not sure how this relates to the astronomical meridian. Nowadays, time is measured accurately by atomic clocks, and we need accuracy for many practical applications, such as determining where and when precisely satellite messages arrive on Earth. GPS, hospital scanners, and many science experiments require this. We can measure time intervals, the duration between two events, most accurately with atomic clocks. These clocks produce electromagnetic radiation, such as microwaves, that atoms in the clock absorb. Cesium atoms absorb microwaves with a frequency of 9,192,631,770 cycles per second. No idea how they measure that. Which then defines the international scientific unit for time, the second. As it happens here in South Africa, we have some extremely accurate clocks, thanks to the radio telescopes Meerkat and the Square Kilometre Array, which is being constructed in the Northern Cape. Currently, Meerkat has a time and frequency reference system comprising two hydrogen maser clocks, two rubidium atomic clocks, a precise crystal oscillator, and a set of global navigation satellite system receivers. The SKA Observatory will be the largest radio astronomy facility on Earth. A new timekeeping system, the timescale, will be the heartbeat of each telescope, generating highly stable time and frequency signals from atomic clocks, which will be distributed to the remote antennas over optical fibre for synchronisation. It's all highly techy, and this sort of technology and engineering is what South Africa does extremely well. Don't ever think otherwise. In amongst all the bad press, this country performs extraordinary feats of high-tech engineering. With that, I wish you all a good new year. This is Ketchel Kirkham, wishing us clear skies. FM.